Prime Minister Justin Trudeau stated at the Foreign Interference Inquiry that the 2019 CSIS intelligence briefings on election interference lacked sufficient credibility to warrant action.
Canada's premiers may meet with Justin Trudeau to discuss the carbon tax after an opposition motion, unexpectedly backed by the NDP and Bloc Québécois, passed.
Alberta Premier Danielle Smith has introduced legislation requiring provincial approval for future deals the federal government may have with Alberta municipalities. Hello, Canada. It's Friday, April 12th, and this is the True North Daily Brief. I'm Cosmin Jirja.
And I'm William McBath.
We've got you covered with all the news you need to know. Let's discuss the top stories of the day and the True North exclusives you won't hear anywhere else. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau told the Foreign Interference Inquiry that CSIS intelligence briefings regarding potential election interference in 2019 weren't sufficiently credible information to act on. CSIS officials warned Trudeau in the lead-up to the 2019 election that they suspected irregularities, including political interference in the nomination contest of former Liberal MP Han Dong's Don Valley North riding. Irregularities itself is not enough to overturn a democratic event, Trudeau told the inquiry on Wednesday. In this case, I didn't feel that there was sufficiently credible information that would justify this very significant step as to remove a candidate, he said. According to Trudeau, CSIS officials first made him aware of the potential interference in September 2019 after the agency learned about buses of Chinese students who were being mobilized to support Han Dong. CSIS believed their mobilization to be directed by the People's Republic of China. According to Trudeau, this is no different than busloads of Italian Canadians and Greek Canadians who came out to vote for him during his 2007 nomination race in his riding of Papineau in Montreal. Counsel for Michael Chong pressed Trudeau that the mode of transportation wasn't the issue of the briefing, but rather that intelligence suggested that the event had been organized by the PRC and assisted by the Chinese consulate in Toronto. So I had a chance to see a couple clips from the testimony yesterday, and it did seem that Trudeau was sort of making light of these interference claims. What did you make of Trudeau's testimony? Has his story entirely changed since last year when the claims were first leaked?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great question because it seems like, first of all, he said they never happened. And now he says, well, it may have happened, but it really wasn't anything to worry about. And it's far from the only contradiction or flip-flop we've seen from the Prime Minister and his team over the past week. Although I have to say my favorite so far has been the assertion by Katie Telford, Chief of Staff, that the Prime Minister reads absolutely everything that's put in front of him, every briefing, every report, every document. And when the Prime Minister himself is asked about it, he says, well, I actually don't read all of those documents. I trust that my advisors will tell me if something important is one of the documents, which for those of you who are my age, might be Simpsons fans, remember the famous quote, I was elected to lead, not to read. That seems to be what the Prime Minister is embodying here. So he seems to just be making it up as he goes along or telling whatever tale he thinks will get him out of trouble or keep him out of trouble. Frankly, his credibility on this is pretty shot, though. I'd be surprised if anybody, if asked, says they fully believe the Prime Minister in what he's saying.
For sure. And the other question that comes to mind is, where do we go from here? At the end of this inquiry, I'm sure there will be some recommendations. But is there really the political will from the Trudeau government to act on this?
You know, the idea that people who have little or no ties to Canada can play a role in the heart of our democracy is deeply disturbing. If, for example, the Prime Minister were to resign and the Liberal Party of Canada to hold a new leadership race, then hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of non-permanent residents, international students, temporary foreign workers, would be allowed to choose our next Prime Minister under the Liberal Party of Canada's rules. So I hope that this has opened Canadians' eyes to the very real possibility that there could be interference done, especially if a political party is being willfully blind to the activities of a hostile government within our own borders. Canada's premiers might get their wish to meet with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau to discuss the carbon tax. After a surprising turn of events, the Conservatives' opposition motion calling on Trudeau to convene an emergency meeting passed with the unexpected support of the NDP and Bloc Québécois. The non-binding motion, debated on Tuesday and spearheaded by Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre, calls for Trudeau to gather all of Canada's 14 first ministers to discuss the levy. The opposition motion to hold a televised carbon tax emergency meeting was voted on Wednesday and passed despite Liberal MPs' opposition. The motion calls for the meeting to address A, the ongoing carbon tax crisis and the financial burden it places on Canadians, B, the Prime Minister's recent 23% carbon tax increase, and C, plans for provinces to opt out of the federal carbon tax to pursue other responsible ideas to lower emissions. The opposition motion states the reasoning for its demands, considering Canada ranks 62 out of 67 countries on the Climate Change Performance Index, even with the federal government's current environmental plan in place. So, Cosmin, we've seen polling that indicates the carbon tax is deeply unpopular amongst everyday Canadians, and a majority of premiers oppose it. So do you think that this plan to have a televised first minister's meeting and to have all the first ministers sit down with the prime minister, are they actually going to come out of this with any form of agreement on either the carbon tax or on the specifics of a carbon tax plan going forward?
Well, I think, first of all, it would be quite the spectacle. And I suspect that there is some element of that in this motion, they want to confront Trudeau in a very public way so that when he refuses, every Canadian can get to see that. But is this really productive? I'm not so sure, because Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has made it clear that he won't budge. He said he's willing to do the unpopular thing, as he's called it, for the so-called good of the climate. And he also hasn't budged on more carve-outs for other provinces when it comes to home heating. So it's difficult to say how this would eventually play out, or even if Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is going to listen to this motion because it's non-binding.
Do you think the Prime Minister has decided that, given the current polling, and in fact, I think we just saw a poll out that had the Conservatives and Pierre Poilievre 20 points ahead of the Liberals, do you think maybe he's decided that it doesn't really matter if the policy is deeply unpopular? He's going to keep it in place. He's going to push it through because, in his mind, this is his great legacy to leave Canada.
He is willing to face a carbon tax election, and I'm sure he's going to rest his laurels on all the good things he's done for the environment and so on. But it really raises the question whether he's willing to listen to constituents. And you have even the NDP supporting this motion against Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, even though they're in a coalition government. So the tides have completely turned the other way. The NDP know that a carbon tax is not necessarily the best way to approach the climate issue, but the Liberals have so far not offered any alternatives, and they're not even willing to accept alternatives from provinces that they've forced to accept this federal levy. Alberta Premier Danielle Smith is following Quebec's lead as her government tables legislation to force the federal government to obtain provincial approval on future deals with Alberta municipalities. On Wednesday afternoon, the Alberta government tabled the Provincial Priorities Act to enforce Section 92 of the Constitution, which states that municipalities fall within the exclusive jurisdiction of the provinces. Jurisdiction has never stopped Ottawa from seeking to grab more control from the provinces for a good news headline, which includes funding announcements that don't align with provincial priorities, Smith said at a news conference. Our government believes Albertans are entitled to their fair share of federal funding and to have that funding spent on priorities that matter to them, she said. We won't put up with any further manipulation or political interference from Ottawa. At the Council of the Federation in Nova Scotia in November 2023, Smith said Canada's premiers all indicated their opposition to Ottawa stepping over provincial governments to forge agreements directly with municipalities. Smith said the Trudeau Liberals have had the barest representation in Alberta, as evidenced by Liberal policies that would devastate the provincial economy. Ottawa also fails to provide Alberta with its fair share of per capita program funding. So it does seem that the Constitution is on the side of Alberta Premier Danielle Smith, given the fact that it's quite literally written that municipalities are in the jurisdiction of provincial governments. But can she really prevent municipalities from entering into agreements or accepting funding from Ottawa?
It's an interesting question. I mean, municipalities here in Alberta, and I'm sure it's the case in other provinces too, are really just the creatures of the provincial government. They have some limited powers and abilities, but they are very much subject to provincial legislation. And so if the province decides it's going to change how agreements exist within those provinces, I would think municipalities would be more or less forced to. Now, like everything, there's a political element here. And I think for anybody who is familiar with Alberta, we have two big cities, Edmonton and Calgary. Neither of those mayors could be even charitably described as conservative. The mayor of Edmonton is a former federal Liberal cabinet minister. The mayor of Calgary, I would venture, is practically a New Democrat. And I think oftentimes they see themselves as leaders of the opposition to the government of Alberta, and particularly of Premier Danielle Smith. So I think in along with all the other political goals she has, one thing might be to try and clip the wings of these two mayors just a bit, to bring them into heel and to remind them that if they want to find more funding for their pet projects, for their quote unquote core responsibilities, then they're going to have to learn to play nice with the province. And the province isn't going to tolerate having these two mayors go around the province and simply cut deals with a federal Liberal government they feel might be ideologically more sympathetic to some of what either Amarjeet Sowhi or Jody Gondek want to achieve as mayors.
The other element of this that I find interesting is that Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre has actually made a staple of his housing strategy, tying housing funds to municipalities approving housing projects. So in a way, this legislation is a roundabout dig at that as well, because Poilievre wants more control, more federal control over funding for municipalities. Would you agree that it might affect a future Conservative government's housing strategy if this comes into place, or will Alberta Premier Danielle Smith have a more willingness to work with Poilievre?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. I think, you know, if taken to the extreme, I do think that this policy that's being advanced by Mr. Poilievre and what Danielle Smith has advocated for in terms of provincial rights could bring the two into conflict. I think the on-the-ground reality, however, is that a Premier Smith-led Alberta and a Pierre Poilievre-like Canada would find a lot more natural concord and agreement on issues, and that without the rancor that currently exists between Justin Trudeau, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, and so many of the provinces, I think a lot more common ground will be found. If you look at the last Conservative Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, he was very careful to avoid having the federal government wade too far into areas of provincial jurisdiction. And as a result, Canada had never been more united than when he was Prime Minister. It's only when you've got I wouldn't say prime ministers just like Justin Trudeau, but certainly all prime ministers with the last name Trudeau, is when you start to see federal-provincial relations break down because they start to wade aggressively into areas of provincial jurisdiction, and they don't seem to have respect for the fact that those local populations might disagree with the policy agenda of the federal government.
That's it for today, folks. Make sure to check in at www.tnc.news throughout the day for all the news you need to know. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to share our work with your friends and neighbors. And if able, please consider supporting independent media at donate.tnc.news.